This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio with us today. And I'd like to begin with Jean-Jacques Rousseau. We've mentioned him on recent broadcasts. He's such an important and seminal figure in the developments of the modern nation state.
That's interesting that you would bring him up, because today at Worldview at the Abbey, our bridge year program down in Canyon City, we just finished studying Rousseau and the social contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
And in fact, I used some of your material from your book, Apostate, to give them background information about Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
He's a critical figure, and Paul Johnson starts his book Intellectuals with Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He's a critical element of modern life. And one of the things people don't understand is that Jean-Jacques Rousseau, though the most important political philosopher behind Karl Marx and, of course, all of the modern socialist governments or democratic governments in which government comes to dominate every area of life, particularly the area of education, all of that was rooted in Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who wrote the book Emile, the book on education, how to educate a person in the modern age. And but 20 years before he wrote that book, he had his first child. His live-in girlfriend birthed a child. On the day the child was born, he deposited the child on the steps of an orphanage to die there. He had five children. All of them he deposited on the steps of an orphanage in Paris to die. And later someone asked him, did you have boys or girls? He said, I forgot to check the gender. So he didn't know if he had boys or girls, but and then, effectively killed all five of his children.
And then he's writing a book on how to educate children.
Absolutely.
How to raise children.
Absolutely. That was the man. Yeah. That was the man. Will Durant, in his book on Jean-Jacques Rousseau and the Revolution, Will Durant wrote that Rousseau wanted a system of public instruction by the state. He prescribed many years with an unmarried tutor who would withdraw the child as much as possible from parents and relatives. That was his approach. His approach was hand them over to professionals. Paul Johnson, also in his books on intellectuals, said Rousseau asserted that brooding on his conduct towards his children led him eventually to formulate the theory of education he put forward in Emile. What began as a process of self-justification gradually evolved into the proposition that education was the key to moral improvement, and this being so, it was the concern of the state. By a curious link of infamous moral logic, Rousseau's iniquity as a parent was linked to his ideological offspring, the future totalitarian state. So in other words, that he blew it with his own children, effectively killing his own children, resulted in his commitment to statism and socialism, and the modern totalitarian government-controlled form of education that we have come to understand today. Rousseau's favorite author on education was Plato, Plato's Republic. And as you know, in Plato's Republic, the men and women guardian come together for temporary liaisons. They don't get married. The woman has a baby. It comes out of the womb into the hands of professionals who take over from there. And according to Plato, quote, no child shall know his parent, and no parent shall know who his child was.
And so women were
nobody knows.
Were held in common.
And women were held in common as well, right. And so this was Rousseau's ideal situation. And of course, a society in which 68% of kids are born outside of wedlock, and on and on and on and on it goes. 95% of people in America confess to committing premarital fornication, et cetera, divorce rates upwards of 40-50%. This is precisely the world that Plato and Rousseau wanted so badly. Now you get to Karl Marx, who is the protege of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and Karl Marx is committed to abolishing the family. He says he realizes that's a bit of a challenge. Now, of course, you know, Soviet Union has the second largest abortion rate in the world, second only to China, and the family in Russia and China has been utterly decimated by these horrible socialistic Marxist ideals. And Marx also in the center, in the very center of his Communist Manifesto, you know what he says right in the middle of it? The very, very core of the Communist Manifesto, you'll find these words, replace home education with social. Mm. That is the very heart and soul of Marxism. The very heart and soul of socialism. Remove the children from the parents and raise them by socialist statist professionals. Well, and replace home education with social. And that's why homeschooling is the number one opposition to socialism in the world today. That's it. Now, you'll say, yeah, but there are only about 4 million homeschooled kids in the world, 3 million in America, a million in other places. Yes, that's right. There are 4 million people that oppose socialism and Marxism in the world today.
Wow.
Now, there may be others, but I'm saying that's the very core of the opposition. That's the core of it.
Well,
you want to know the core. According to Karl Marx, Karl Marx would say home education is the enemy of the state. Replace home education with social. And so here we are today, Bill, home education making up, what, 4 million people around the world? Thankfully, a few Canadians, a few Mexicans, a few UKers, and here and there, some in Brazil, a few in Japan, Korea. I just spoke at a Korean homeschool conference. There's something like 500-600 homeschooled kids there. There are about 4 million people out of, what, 7 billion people in the world that oppose socialism. And they are homeschooling their kids. Because Karl Marx, at the very center of the Communist Manifesto, says, replace home education with social. Now, incidentally, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the source of all of this, this monster, this madman, that's what his common-law wife called him, interesting madman. This monster, this madman, was the best of liberals. He would say of himself, the person who can love me as I can love is still to be born. No one has ever had more talent for loving. I was born to be the best friend that ever existed. Show me a better man than me, a heart more loving, more tender, more sensitive. He's the typical, the archetypal liberal. He was amazing. He urinated publicly all over everybody and everything. Seriously. He urinated publicly, embarrassing, but yeah, that's what he would do. He despised the only woman who ever loved him. He deposited 5 children on the steps of an orphanage. He was a pathetic figure, an interesting madman. And he had immense influence on John Dewey, the father of modern education. Billions of people have inherited his ideas. The whole world has followed his political philosophies. Why do so many people follow a lunatic who just urinated all over everything? Boy, if that isn't a picture of the modern world.
It is. And it is amazing to me that he's had such rippling effects throughout cultures. From Germany, I mean, France, the French Revolution, 40,000 people guillotined, directly attributed to
Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Yeah. I mean, Thomas Carlyle, the Scottish essayist, was chided for talking about ideas at a dinner party. And somebody said, ideas, Mr. Carlyle, nothing but ideas. He said, Jean-Jacques Rousseau wrote a book full of nothing of ideas, and the second edition of which was bound in the skins of those who laughed at the first.
Mm-hmm. Ideas.
Ideas, and that's literally true. I mean, he said that 150 years prior to the French Revolution, mm-hmm. I think it was. And what was the result? 40,000 people were guillotined.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the Chinese revolutions, the Russian revolutions.
Hitler, Marx, Mao,
the killing fields of Cambodia, and on and on and on it goes. Friends, read the story in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Rousseau's orphanage is a lot bigger today. Read the story in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. The book available at our website, generations.org, or kevinswanson.com. Be back in just a moment with more, because the orphanage just got bigger in California and Colorado. Be back in a moment. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack also with me as we discuss Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the father of modern education. If you want to understand who was it that came up with the ideas that effectively formed the modern socialist state and these institutions that line our highways and these gigantic schools that are governed by large and powerful state governments, where did all of this come from? Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the man who deposited the children on the steps of an orphanage and then told the whole world how to do it. Rousseau's orphanage is getting bigger all the time. And remember, this is what he suggested. Withdraw a child as much as possible from parents and relatives. Withdraw a child as much as possible from parents and relatives. Well, California and Colorado are pushing really hard for full-day kindergarten now, Bill. In Sacramento, they're working on it. In the California Assembly, they apparently offer kindergarten for a half-day program. But the governor, Gavin Newsom, this is his number one commitment. Same thing for the liberal governor of Colorado. It's interesting, the liberal governors of Colorado and California, which arguably are probably the most liberal governors in the country, with maybe the exception of New York. But California and Colorado governors are dead to rights in support of Rousseau's orphanage. Absolutely withdraw a child as much as possible from parents and relatives and provide for full-time kindergarten. And right now, the Colorado governor, his first wish has been granted. The Joint Budget Committee approved $185 million to be spent on a program next year, and HB 1262 in Colorado establishes the program as the funding of full-day kindergarten for every school district mandated for the state of Colorado.
It does say that it clarifies that nothing requires a child to attend full-day kindergarten or prohibits a school district from offering half-day kindergarten. They can opt out of the program, but how many school districts do you think are going to opt out of a program that offers them millions of dollars?
And how many parents will opt out of a system that offers them free this or free that?
Yeah, and
you know, the brochure always looks
earlier.
Pretty good. Yeah, the brochures look pretty good, friends. Here's a quote from the governor of Colorado. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is Adolf Hitler. Sorry.
Yeah.
When an opponent declares, "I will not come over to your side," I calmly say, "Your children belongs to us already. What are you? You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in a new camp." And this is what he said on May 1st, 1937. Not the governor of Colorado, Adolf Hitler. "The youth of today is ever the people of tomorrow. For this reason, we have set before ourselves the task of inoculating our youth with the spirit of this community of the people at a very early age, at an age when human beings are still unperverted and therefore unspoiled." That sounds like Jean-Jacques Rousseau. "This Reich stands." This is Adolf Hitler speaking. "This Reich stands, and it is building itself up for the future upon its youth. And this new Reich will give its youth to no one, but will itself take youth and give to youth its own education and its own upbringing." Okay, those are radical statements in the early part of the 20th century, but this is precisely what the governor of Colorado and California are doing.
Exactly. Well, once again, my solution to this is, parents, do not sacrifice your children on the altar of Moloch. Do not sacrifice them on the altar of secular education. You are to train up your children. You are to educate your children. You are to train them in the ways of the Lord, not in the ways of the state.
Bill, let's explain to our audience how this works. Okay, you open up the compulsory attendance law to involve kids from 5 to 18 years of age. And at the same time you mandate full-time kindergarten, you're also sure to pass another bill that requires indoctrination in transgenderism and homosexuality and comprehensive sex ed.
Right.
So they're doing both bills simultaneously. Because remember, there's a two-prong effect here. The first is to achieve government funding and control over everything, and then you pervert it. So it's always the way it works. You gain government control over it, and then you pervert it. You gain government control over kindergarten, and then you pervert it. You gain government control over education, then you pervert it. You give government control over sex ed, then you pervert it. You gain government control over marriage, and then you pervert it. You gain government control over X, then you pervert it. And then Y, and then Z. This is the way it works, friends. And typically, it's Republicans that are A-OK with gaining more funding and control over things. Typically, Democrats are a little quicker at perverting it. But the agenda is pretty much the same Republican or Democrat. Friends, this is the kind of approach that is taken. But in the case of Colorado, they're doing both at the same time.
Right.
It's interesting. They're gaining more control over kindergarten. They're throwing another $185 million at it to be sure that six-year-olds are going to have their transgender and their homosexuality training program in place by the year 2023. Well, here's a few fun quotes from humanists. I thought I'd throw these out, too, on this edition of the program. John Dunphy was writing for the Humanist magazine in 1983, and John Dunphy also expressed the importance of capturing education, education being the modern church for the humanist ideology. And this has been very important for the humanists since John Dewey. John Dewey acknowledged that the school is the church. It is the teaching ground. And teachers are the prophets and the priests of the new age. And that's the way John Dewey put it. But John Duffy, also writing for the Humanist magazine in 1983, said the classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism. So he says the classroom is the arena of conflict, where humanism will overcome the rotting corpse of Christianity and, of course, introduce transgenderism and homosexuality, which is already done. Also, he says, I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of the new faith, the religion of humanity. Almost exactly what John Dewey would say. And then Richard Layton is a prominent humanist writing in 1997. So this would have been what, 20 years ago?
Yep.
Okay. 22. 1997, Richard Layton, a prominent humanist writing, he wrote, in considering the influence of humanism on education, I thought it might be useful to go through the Humanist Manifesto 2 and check all the ideas expressed there, which I felt had been taught to me when I attended the public schools in my youth. The exercise turned out to be a pleasant surprise. I had expected to check only 6, 8, or perhaps 12 at the most, but when I had finished, I found that I had checked no less than 58 ideas of humanism. I had not fully appreciated just how much humanism had influenced modern education until I did this exercise.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. If you have not read the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2, you need to go read those, because one of the signers of the first one was John Dewey, the father of modern American education.
Yes, exactly. And it really gives you the core ideology of humanism. If you want to know what it sounds like, there are two forms of humanism. One is more statistic and structured. The other form is a child-directed, individualized, individual-directed, child-directed form of education. Both forms came out of the 19th and early 20th centuries. Well, friends, Plato wrote in The Republic in 380 BC, when the true philosopher kings are born in a state, they will set in order their own city. They will take possession of the children, who will be unaffected by the habits of their parents. These they will train in their own habits and laws. Does that sound like full time, full day kindergarten to you, Bill?
It does.
You know, we were down at the Colorado legislature a few years ago arguing over the compulsory attendance law. And by God's grace, twice, the homeschoolers were able to carve out an exception for themselves. So we were not subjected to the increased regulations upon kids. Now, private school students, Christian school students, and public school students were all subjected to even more onerous regulations by the state. But the homeschoolers were always exempted because the homeschoolers insisted on parental rights according to biblical law. And they actually appreciated freedom. But there were some homeschoolers that argued against the compulsory attendance law that was imposed upon us, and God was gracious to us and exempted us. But one of the comments made by a judge who was advocating as much compulsory attendance as possible, regulating Colorado children and Colorado families to the umpteenth degree, the judge, he was from Pueblo, he turned to us, the homeschoolers, there were only homeschoolers protesting it, and the judge turned to us and he said, all of Colorado's children belong to us.
Did parents just rise up and yell and scream and hoop and holler? Were there parents with pitchforks there?
Herein lies the conflict. It's the conflict of ideologies. It's the conflict between Plato and Jesus. Now, what does the Word of God say? You shall teach your children as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. Ephesians 6:4, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. See, the Word of God gives us God's law, God's jurisdictions for family, church, and state. And God's law allows jurisdiction for family. God's law allows jurisdiction for church. God's law allows some jurisdiction for the state. Now, the humanist version of this is the state is all things. The state is God. And the state allows a little jurisdiction for the family, as it feels like it needs to allow for a little bit of it, and allows for the jurisdiction of the church. But friends, that's the wrong worldview. That's the status worldview. That's not our worldview. So why is this so essential to the totalitarian state? I guess that's my question. Why is this the number one commitment of Colorado and California governors, perhaps the worst governors that our nation has ever seen? Why would they go for all-day kindergarten first? You have a theory on that?
I think it destroys the family because it rips the children away from the mothers. And then it forces the mothers into the workforce. So they're getting them younger and younger and younger.
Well, I think they want a totalitarian state. It seems to me they want the totalitarian state to consume the family. It seems to me that they like Plato.
Yeah.
And, you know, Plato's statements are pretty radical. He's saying nobody should know who their father was. Nobody should know who their mother was. Nobody should know who their children are. You know, that's Plato. And that's precisely the commitment of the radical totalitarian socialists of the day. A total and a complete statism is only possible if you can get that child at 5 to 6 years of age. And these guys understand that. They have read Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
They have read the statements we've made from Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Karl Marx. They have read these guys and they know the game. They know the game. Well, friends, the battle for freedom begins right here, right now, with you. If you're a parent, the battle begins with you. The battle for freedom begins with you. Christians should be committed to the obliteration of the compulsory attendance laws. If you're not rooted in the principle on this one, friends, you're not going to contribute in the battle for freedom in the 21st century. And Bill, I still find very, very few people that will agree with me on this. Amongst our leaders, amongst homeschool leaders, I'm not seeing that they're willing to go to principle and say, you know what, the state has no business assigning compulsory attendance law. I know it came from Johann Fichte. I know it came from Jean-Jacques Rousseau. I know that was their commitment. But I'm not a humanist. I'm not an atheist. I am not an advocate of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. I am rooted in scripture. I'm rooted in scriptural principle when it comes to whether the state has a responsibility and an obligation to act in this area. It doesn't. The state has no business bringing in a compulsory attendance law. And I'm not a Marxist, I'm not a Rousseauian, and I'm not a socialist. And it's time for a few leaders, pastors, homeschool leaders to step forward and say with some guts and some courage and some faith, it's time to put an end to the compulsory attendance law in our countries around the world. Christians should take advantage of the islands of freedom that God has cut out for them as well. And I think homeschooling has been something of an island of freedom. Indeed, when we were able to push back on the compulsory attendance law regulations that were imposed on us here in the Colorado legislature, we cut out, by the grace of God, more of an island of freedom here. Homeschooling is an island of freedom. Take advantage of the islands of freedom, friends. 1 Corinthians 7:21 tells us, were you called while a slave, do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, use it rather. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become the slaves of men. And here, Paul is referring not to slavery to sin in this case. He's referring to slavery to the unnecessary servitude and masterhood of the socialist state and other forms of slavery. That's what he's referring to, the unnecessary forms of servitude. We as Christians should cast these off. Why? Because we've been bought with a price. That is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you consider the blood of Jesus Christ to be of value to you, then do not become the slaves of men. Cast off the servitude of the state if you have an option to do it. Now, if you can't, I'm not encouraging you to revolution, but I'm encouraging you to take advantage of the islands of freedom provided for you. If you have the opportunity, Paul says, use it rather. You are bought with a price, that is the blood of Christ. Be not the servants of men. Those are pretty strong words, friends. Take advantage of the islands of freedom that God gives for you as a Christian.
Because we believe in liberty.
Absolutely.
Liberty. And you want your children to be free. Free from the bonds of secular thought.
And you know what? Not everybody likes freedom from big government. A lot of people like the freedom to sin, which isn't freedom at all. That's the most significant slavery and bondage of all. Slavery to sin is the worst. And all forms of slavery will flow out of a slavery to sin. Not everybody likes freedom from big governments, but we do. I love what Samuel Adams said. If you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, then depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or your arms. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. If you so love your chains, just kiss them, embrace them, and die in them. But if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. And you'll begin to embrace a true freedom and a freedom that involves quite a few other implications. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I'd encourage you to our new book just released called The Story of Freedom. It's the expanded version of our previous book called Freedom. The Story of Freedom will give you a defense for freedom and a sense of the legacy and the heritage of freedom that we have received from our 1,000 years of heritage in the Western world. And yes, it is about ready to go away. It appears that we'll be leaving some of our children in gulags and prison camps. Unless there are people out there willing to embrace the great legacy of freedom that we've received in our country, in the Western world, in the Christian West. So I encourage you to give something of a legacy and a heritage of freedom on to your children and grandchildren by telling them the story. You say, what story might I tell my kids? Tell them the story of freedom. And that story is included in my book called The Story of Freedom, just released and available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.